Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Thursday, August the 2nd, as we come off the first Phillies off day in 12 days. A long stretch of baseball after the All-Star break. The Phillies playing straight through until yesterday, finally getting a day off before starting a four-game series here at home against the Miami Marlins, I should say, as the Marlins will come into town, one of the worst teams in the National League, the worst team, along with the Mets, the worst team in the division, as the clear three teams in the division playing a lot better. We'll get into that a little bit later as we look at where the Phillies are at in relation to the rest of the National League, as they still sit in first place alone, a half game up on the Atlanta Braves. The Braves rained out yesterday, and supposedly the Marlins as well, unable to make up a game there, still sitting at 57-47, so a half game back from the Phillies. They are a game back, a game under them in the loss column, but the Braves still three games to make up on the Phillies. It's the Phillies, two more wins than the Braves, sitting a half game up again in first place. The Nationals playing a little bit better baseball as of late, putting up the 25 spot or whatever the other night, and now sitting five back of the Phillies at 54-53 as they are back above 500. But this Phillies team, we talked a lot about it yesterday. I think that, look, coming off the series in Boston, the two-game set here, and they'll have another two with Boston later this month at home, but the opportunity to go up against the best team in baseball, a team that's sitting at 75-34 on the season right now with the 34th loss coming at the hands of the Phillies, and the Phillies really playing well enough to win both games. Aaron Nola on a national stage, you know, maybe the biggest profile game that he has pitched so far outside of the All-Star game. And he was potentially the best we've ever seen him pitch. Just totally in control of all of his stuff, topping out at 96. Just looked awesome in a big spot. And that really gets you excited about what he could do when the lights get bright in late September and, of course, October. And then, of course, even though the Phillies weren't able to close that one out, ultimately losing in extra innings in the 13th, 2-1, they are able to, as they have all season long, show the resiliency. Losers of four straight, losing in the 13th inning against the Red Sox after knowing you should have won the game. You only gave up the first run because of an Odubel Herrera mistake in center field. And to come back the next night and Jake Arrieta give them the outing he gave them, the seven innings of one-run ball and seven strikeouts, no walk, and his stuff dancing all over the place against the best, one of the best, whatever you want to say, lineups in baseball. Arrieta was just dominant and terrific. And again, the kind of thing that both those starts in such big spots against a Boston team, both where they really needed the win, the Nola coming in to try and stop the three-game losing streak, and then, of course, Arrieta ultimately stopping the four-game losing streak. But I think if nothing else, you know, it gets you excited for what those guys could do in big games in September and October, but also just, again, how fun and real this Phillies team is, that this team is a legitimate contender. They're going to contend for a playoff spot up until the end. They have seven of their last 11 games against the Atlanta Braves this season. That is going to be absolutely insane. Coming up, we'll look at just how intensely crowded the National League playoff picture is right now. It's absolutely insane. You look at the American League, and as we discussed, the Boston Red Sox are 75-34. They're on cruise control of the playoffs. The Yankees, 5 games back from the Red Sox, but still 68-38. That's absolutely insane. They'd be 9 games up on the Phillies if they were in the same division. And yet they're 5 game back of the Red Sox, but still in a good spot for that first wild card, but also the A's and the Mariners, who are 5 games back of a 69-win Astros team, are also both in the 60 wins above plateau, 62 and 63. So those teams are, it's unbelievable how top heavy. And then, of course, the Cleveland Indians have the same record as the Phillies, 59-48, and yet they have a 10-game lead in their atrocious division, while the Phillies are a half game up on the Braves and 5 up on the Nationals. So it's really a wild kind of divergence between the two leagues, where in the American League you have this just incredibly top heavy situation where the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Astros, the Indians, and one of the A's and the Mariners are going to make the playoffs. It is locked in. One of those teams will make, you know, it is going to be from that group. And the Red Sox and the Indians can already punch their tickets, as can the Astros. So you feel pretty good about those teams if they get there. And it's a really exciting playoffs because those are all really good teams. But the National League, so much more packed. We'll get into that coming up. But first, a quick roundup. We talked a lot about the trade deadline and what the Phillies did yesterday, but a quick roundup, obviously. If you listened to yesterday's show, you know that I'm very bullish on the Wilson Ramos move. I know he won't be back till the end of August, early September, but he is a outstanding offensive hitting catcher, a clear upgrade over what they have from an offensive perspective. And from a defensive perspective, he doesn't have the athleticism or the arm of Alfaro, but he is going to handle a staff. He is going to be sound. He's going to get the job done. I think getting Wilson Ramos was a really interesting outside-the-box move to make the lineup better in an area where we might not have been expecting it. And then adding Aaron Loop on the trade deadline day as well, a nice left-handed specialist to come in. You can never have too many lefties in your bullpen, especially guys who have a propensity to get left-handed hitters out. That's something the Phillies needed. And then, of course, the Estrubel Cabrera trade, I think, you know, you can only look at Franklin Quilome as the literal only thing of value from a prospect perspective the Phillies gave up. And who knows? Power arm, we'll see. I personally think he's going to be a reliever, and he could be a really good one, but I think where this team is at and how much depth they have in their farm system, just how incredibly deep and quality deep it is, that I think this team had the luxury of being able to deal a guy like Quilome and not worry too much about what he's going to become, to bring a guy like Estrubel in who can really fill a hole for you from an offensive perspective. And it's really interesting. We'll get to coming up how, obviously, if they're going to play Estrubel at shortstop a fair amount. And it was interesting because I heard Matt Klentak on with John Marks and Ike Reese yesterday, and they asked him about the infield alignment, what they're going to do with Kingery and Crawford on the comeback trail and all that. And he had a really interesting thing to say. He said, you know, he's going to leave the lineup construction to Gabe because he thinks Gabe is great at it, but that, you know, in collaborating a little bit, that, you know, if you look at it logically, they have certain pitchers on the team in Jake Arrieta and Aaron Nola who are ground ball pitchers who have success by inducing ground balls. So when those guys are pitching, it's more likely you might see a Kingery or a Crawford when he comes back at shortstop. And then on days when you got Velasquez and Pivetta, guys who are more fly ball pitchers and potentially Eflin as well, I think that they feel a little more comfortable putting Estrubel Cabrera there at shortstop. And I thought that was a really fascinating tidbit from Klentak. And I think ultimately the bats will win out if Kingery continues to struggle at the level he is. And I said yesterday that I think that he could probably use some time in the minors just from a positive perspective. I feel like if he goes down there and starts to, you know, get back his confidence, remember what he used to do that worked so well against guys that he can hit and build that confidence up, I think it'd actually be a good thing for him. But I think bringing Estrubel in just is such a perfect fit for what they needed in terms of an infield guy who can come in. He is a switch hitter, which gives him flexibility, which they love, and he can play three positions. So I think you feel really good about the moves they made. Buster Olney put out his grades yesterday, gave them a B+. Here's what Olney had to say. Wilson Ramos gives the Phillies enviable catching depth, and he and Jorge Alfaro should be an excellent complementary combination, with Ramos providing more offense and Alfaro providing more defense. Estrubel Cabrera is not a good defender in any position, but his versatility defensively and offensively gives the Phillies more layers. He was an excellent addition. So Olney high on the Estrubel addition and the Ramos as well. And I think I agree with him there. You know, you can bring Alfaro in if you need the potential to throw out runners. And look, I think Alfaro's done a really good job taking strides defensively this season from what we expected. He is a strong defensive catcher. Obviously, the pass balls, he has too many lapses. He's not sound, but his upside is so high. He makes such athletic plays. He's strong in a lot of ways. So, and certainly in some ways better than Ramos. So, I think that's a really interesting point there. Jason Stark, I thought this was interesting too in his column on The Athletic about the trade deadline moves and 10 thoughts on it. He talked about the defensive thing we were just talking about and how teams kind of like the Phillies have been willing to sacrifice defense for offense. And here's what he had to say. He said, the Phillies trade for Estrubel Cabrera, even though he probably hurts their infield defense at every position he might play. He also mentions the Brewers trading for Moustakas and Scope, who would put Travis Shaw out of position and cause them to have defensive issues. Well, he says those are just two of the most obvious examples of another subtle trend in this year's market, how the rampant use of shifts is causing more teams to say he's playing out of position, so what? It's really fascinating. He's saying the way that shifting has changed the way players play defensively, it has allowed for less successful defenders, less quality defenders, to have more success because of it. Because they're in the right positioning. I thought that was really interesting, and I think it's certainly something a team like the Phillies would be doing, is we know how much they employ the shifts and also how much they believe in analytics and all that. So, interesting point from Stark. That's always a great read anytime Stark puts out a trade deadline wrap-up type piece as well. So, regardless, just to kind of put a bow on it, and also came out yesterday, Adam Jones nicked a trade to the Phillies using his 10 and 5 rights. There was a deal in place. Nice to hear that the Phillies were really out there trying to make moves and better this team. And a lot of people were mad at Adam Jones. Why wouldn't he want to play for a contender and all that? Whatever. The man wants to make his choice. The man wants to make his choice. He has 10 and 5 rights there. It's hard to get 10 and 5 rights in today's Major League Baseball, you know, being with the team for that long. So I have no problem with what Adam Jones wanted to do or whatever. Would I have liked to have him? Sure. Would I think if... Would I hope that if I were in his shoes, I'd want to go for a World Series? Sure, but he doesn't, and that's his prerogative. Regardless, just to put a bow on it, I think the Phillies did a really nice job at the deadline. I think Klintak did a nice job not mortgaging the future in really any way, shape, or form, while also still fortifying needs for this team to compete over the stretch run here. And speaking of competing over the stretch run here, the NL is incredibly crowded with contending teams. We just talked about it, how the AL is so top-heavy. The NL, quite the opposite. We're going to dive into that coming up next as we'll look at where the Phillies' competition lies and some of the moves made to fortify that competition and all that coming up, as well as looking ahead to the four-game series with the Miami Marlins that begins today. That and more all coming up. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. We're coming right back. We are back. It is Phillies Today, James Seltzer. As we look ahead, coming up in just a few minutes, we will look at tonight's game against the Marlins and the upcoming four-game set here. I'll be down at the ballpark tonight for the first game of the series. And, of course, over the weekend, the 2018 getting honored as well. We'll talk about that more tomorrow as well. But first and foremost, after the trade deadline and all the flurry of moves, and granted, some moves still can get made in August. We saw Justin Verlander go to the Astros and change a pennant race last year, but not as likely that moves get made, of course, as players have to clear waivers and teams have to agree on compensation and all that. But looking at the rosters that we'll be looking at now, is really the great majority of them will kind of look what they look like now, unless they call some players up from the minors or whatever, for a playoff run. And with that in mind, you take a look, and as we discussed, the Phillies at 59 and 48 in first place in the NL East, as they are a half game up on the Braves. The Nats, five behind them. Looking at the rest of the National League, you figure there are five playoff spots to be had, the three division winners and two wild cards, and yet there are three teams in the NL East contending. The Nats, of course, a little on the backside of it, but still in it. The Cubs, the Brewers, and the Pirates all in it. The Cubs and the Brewers ahead, of course. And the Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and Rockies, that makes for nine teams for five spots, whereas there are six teams for five spots in the American League. And looking at how bunched up it is, when you look at those teams, the Phillies in first place, the Cubs in first place, and the the Diamondbacks in first place. But you look at the wild card picture out there, it's so close, as the Brewers in first place for the wild card with a better record than the Phillies right now, for what it's worth, at three games up. Then the Braves, who the Phillies are a half game up on, are tied with the Rockies and the Dodgers. So right now, three teams are tied for that second wild card spot, and those teams are just a half game behind the Phillies in terms of record. After that, the Pirates, three behind them. The Cardinals still in it as well. I should have included them when I mentioned before I meant to. So really 10 teams for five spots. So the Cardinals, I don't really include as much because they kind of traded Tommy Pham at the deadline. Really haven't seemed to be tooling up more than looking down the interim manager in there. I don't think the Cardinals are going to contend. Of course, the Giants right there too. I mean, if you look at the fact that right now, technically with three teams with one game above 500, there are 11 teams in the National League that are above 500. Only four teams, the Reds, we've been playing really good baseball, as we saw. But the Reds, the Marlins, the Mets, the Padres, that's it. Those are the only four teams under 500. So it is going to be an insane finish. It's going to be tough for the teams like the Nationals, the Giants, and the Cardinals to jump the other teams, as there are so many teams in front of them right now. But man, it's going to be a crazy, crazy race. When you look at these teams, as you look at the three, let's look at the division winners first right now, as the Cubs and the Diamondbacks both made moves to fortify their teams. The Cubs going out and getting Cole Hamels, who looked good for them last night in his first start with them, was pitching very poorly in Texas, but you never know. Someone may need a change of scenery, a new spot, National League, all that stuff, a race, whatever it is. But Hamels looked good last night. They did that. They fortified the bullpen a little bit and made some moves there. And then the Diamondbacks, of course, going out and getting Eduardo Escobar, maybe one of the best hitters on the market, certainly after Machado, maybe the next best hitter on the market, you could argue, having a great season, one of the league leaders in extra base hits for the Twins prior to getting traded. So that's a legit acquisition for them. He could play second, short, or third as well, especially short and third, really. And Escobar, really nice pickup for them. They add Brad Ziegler to the bullpen, a veteran arm who can help them out. So those teams fortified themselves. And then you look at the rest of the teams we discussed. The Brewers, they go out, of course, and get Jonathan Scope and Mike Moustakas. They needed a starting pitcher, but you know, that was an issue, but they added infield offense, which was also something they desperately needed. That is another team, as we mentioned before, that seems to be foregoing defense for the offense. Granted, in the outfield, they have a terrific defense. Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain are both star-level defensive players, especially Cain is one of the best defensive outfielders in baseball. So a team with more fly ball pitchers and ground ball pitchers, it makes a little more sense the way they're stacking things, but it could get ugly. But also they're prioritizing offense, and that offense is going to be really good with those guys between Kane and Yelich and Shaw and Scope and Moustakas. And if Moustakas hits, he's been pretty bad lately, but you know, Thames and Aguilar, I mean, they're stacked offensively. That could be a scary team down the stretch. Again, they have a better record than the Phillies right now. The Dodgers, of course, the winners of the trade deadline, they go out and get Manny Machado, as we all lamented. And then they're like, let's go get Brian Dozier too. Let's completely revamp our middle infield. And Brian Dozier, a second half monster for many years in a row, is I wouldn't be surprised to have him go on a tear out there in LA. Machado, They're I think, the clear favorite in my mind in the National League, even though not in first place now, right close there with the Diamondbacks. So I would ultimately think they're the favorite between a Kershaw coming back to full health and the trades they made, the lineup stacked the way it is. I think that's going to be a tough team to contend with for these other teams. And then, you know, you look at the Rockies didn't really make any moves to fortify the team. That was probably a complaint you can make about them, is they made a couple small moves, but nothing is really going to change the face of the roster. Nolan Arenado only signed for one more year there. That is it. One of the best players in baseball who people don't know enough about, but they are they got to do something to keep him because he wants to win. He's talked about that a lot. And then, of course, in our own division, the Nats really didn't do anything. The Nats kind of teetered the line of should we trade Bryce Harper or should we go for it, and they didn't do either. They did add Kelvin Herrera, of course, earlier in the trade season, but they trade away Brandon Kinsler, so... you know, Herrera better, but somewhat of a wash. So I don't really know what they if they got them better, but they could get better just from their own players playing better. They also have, you know, obviously have some young talent who could improve there. And of course, the Braves did make some moves. The Braves, just as aggressive, if not more aggressive than the Phillies, they go out and get Kevin Gausman on a buy low deal, a right-handed pitcher from the Orioles who is super talented and has had some 10 start stretches or so in baseball in the majors where he's been absolutely lights out, a former top prospect, elite type stuff, but has struggled this year. If he is a change of scenery guy, that could be a scary addition for them. Adam Duvall, not my favorite player, but gives them a right-handed power bat in the outfield to platoon in there when needed. It's there's a lot of talent here. I think when you look at these teams, the Cubs and the Dodgers scare me the most down the stretch. But and that's just based on the amount of talent that they have on those teams and the experience. Both those teams have been in World Series, obviously, in the last 2 years. The Cubs winning theirs, the Dodgers losing theirs, but seven games for each. These teams are experienced and then just really stacked from top to bottom. And again, that doesn't always mean everything in baseball, especially when you get to the playoffs. A lot of times the best pitching wins, or a team like the Royals who just is on a magical run can go on a run. But when you just look at it from looking at the roster and how it shakes out and the moves that were made, I think you have to put the Cubs and the Dodgers at the top. But I think that really it's a really wide open National League. I don't think any of these teams are that much better than the Phillies. I think once Ramos gets here and is healthy and is playing, and the addition of Estrubel Cabrera and the way the bullpen has been pitching, and Nolan Arenado, if you can get through some innings limit issue type stuff, not that they're going to sit him down, but that they could be wearing thin on Pivetta and Eflin and Velasquez trying to find a way to manage that. If they can do that, I think this Philly team has a chance to compete with any of these teams. And they did some really clever things to fortify the team. They might not have been as flashy as some other teams, but I think I don't think any other team made themselves drastically better other than the Dodgers at the trade deadline. And that's why I think you look at the Dodgers and the Cubs, put them out front. But after that, I think it's going to be a really interesting stretch here on out as a lot of good teams in the National League. Again, 11 teams over 500. That's absolutely insane to think about. As the Phillies, again, right there in the thick of it at 59-48. So tonight, a big one. I'll be down at the ballpark to see Nick Pivetta take on the Miami Marlins. It will go, Pivetta going tonight, Velasquez tomorrow night, Eflin on Saturday, and Nola on Sunday. No one of note, really, from the Marlins. You know, Wei-Yin Chen and Jose Arian, Straley and Richards. These guys are also ran type pitchers. This should be a nice spot for a Phillies team that has been so, so good at home to come back to Citizens Bank Park after being on the road for six games, a rough stretch in Cincinnati, to come back after an off day, a much needed off day, and after going up to face the best team in baseball and taking them to the mat two nights and winning one of those two and bouncing back and seeing their aces go out and ace it up for them and all that, this team should be riding high from a confidence perspective, and they are facing a Marlins team that is beat down and is ready to play out this string as we get into the dog days here in August. So it's a really good spot for the Phillies to get back on track in terms of winning a series, take three or four here, and then get out on the West Coast, the Diamondbacks, the West leading Diamondbacks coming up next week, three against them and three against the Padres. So the worst team in the National League there. So some nice opportunities here for the Phillies to continue to roll here and add these pieces in and move forward. And it's going to be an exciting September, and I'm really looking forward to it. So big one tonight, Pivetta. Hopefully you can get the job done against Richards. We will see how it goes. Again, I'll be down there. If you're down there, hit me up at James Seltzer on Twitter. I would love to say hi, buy a beer, whatever. But I will be down there with some listeners from the WIP Midday Show, and Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It should be a very good time. So if you're down there, hit me up. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow, and we'll talk about how that game went and look at the weekend and, of course, the 2008 team being honored and all that good stuff tomorrow. So thank you for listening to Phillies Today. Keep it here, however. We got you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.